as you all are aware, at least once a month we have a missions moment where we talk some about some of the ministries that we support. And today, by virtue of Morris and Ida Oginga being here with us, we're going to talk a little bit about our East Africa church planning history. And as we get into that, I'm going to go ahead and ask Morris and Ida to stand up. They're here with us for about a month and a half. They'll be with us as a church at Grace for this coming week, and then they'll be on to other churches visiting around everything from Texas to Oregon. So they've got quite a big busy schedule in front of them. As you all, many of you are aware, we started planting churches in East Africa in 1999. That followed a visit in 1998 with Pastor Morris and the Eastern Presbytery of Uganda, just to kind of see what was going on and what we could do as a church. And when we kind of got involved with Pastor Morris, we found out that God had given him a dream about planting 200 churches in the area of East Africa, which includes Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania. And we found through lots of prayer that we as a church wanted to be part of that ministry. That was, again, like I said, 1998, almost 20 years ago now. Since then, we have opened up the ministry originally opened in eastern Uganda in 1982 with the planting of Morris's church, and then spread on to Kenya in 2003, where we opened up the church in Eldoret, and then in northern Tanzania, which was opened up in 2008 by a church in Moshi. Since then, in the last 35 years, we've planted 118 churches, 110 of those in the last 29 years, and four churches in 2017. So you can kind of get a feel for how the growth has been going. So we're well beyond half of those 200 churches God originally gave to Morris to plant. We're well on our way to that. This picture just shows some of the partners in mission. We've got a loose confederation of churches and college teams and things like that that have gone over and participated in the mission in East Africa and are participating with Morris and Ida as they host. So churches in Hawaii, California, Texas, Oklahoma, Colorado, Florida, Oregon, as one of the newer churches, have all participated in planting churches over in East Africa. Since 1998, here at Grace Community Bible Church itself, we have trained well over 150 short-term missionaries to go share the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just in East Africa, but here at home as well. We've planted 18 churches in Uganda, Kenya, and Tanzania with pastors, and we've literally thousands have trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Every time we go over, we come back with a list of at least 1,500 to 2,000 names of people who have trusted in Jesus Christ. And you can sort of multiply that now by about 20 years. And not just ourselves, but as this slide shows, that we have ministry children and grandchildren, churches that we've introduced to the ministry who've since taken up their own ministry over there and also have shared the gospel. So thousands upon thousands have come to know Jesus Christ through this ministry. This is just a listing of the churches that have been planted by Grace Community Bible Church that Grace Community Bible Church has participated in. So it's 18 churches. Morris and Ida will go through those in exquisite detail. So we'll be done here about 3:30, I think. And last but not least, we are planning to go again next year in 2018. The mission trip, the church planning trip, will go to Bondo, the town of Bondo in Kenya. And Morris and Ida will talk a little bit more about that as we go. So as you listen this morning, keep in the back of your mind that we're putting together a team right now to go in 2018, and you are welcome to come with us. Thank you.
I greet you all in Jesus' name. I want to say thank you for having us again. God is good. I would love just to share with you about the work God has done through you people. It started so humbly with one step. We started the journey, but the journey has been long. And so we are seeing, we are trying to share with you what God has done. And we give him glory for that. Can we clap for God for what God has done? We started working with Grace. And all what you see is through this church. We began from here. And they keep connecting us. They keep connecting us. They keep connecting us. And through all that connection with many people, God have started 118 churches. Our vision was 200. We haven't reached that yet, but we have hope by God's grace and his mercy, who gives us strength every day. We know we shall reach that goal. We need you to reach that goal. So I want just to share with you about Bulorero Church. Bulorero, that is the first church we began with Grace. And from there is where we have also started Luanda Children's Home, where we take care of orphans. All is from this church. Bulorero Church has grown, and they have elders, they have deacons. They can now look after themselves. That means they have now grown, mature, to make decisions. And so the church is doing well. The pastor who is there called David. David has been there from the very beginning, the first day one. You know, it is really hard, as you see how many years gone, that a pastor is in one church up to that time. It takes the grace of God that you are in one church and you are there, might be for 20 years, 30 years. But I wanted to share with you about what has God done through you. Some of you may not know what God has done through you. But through this church, 118 churches with other brothers from other churches, but all the connection is from here. We have Budaka. Budaka was also started with this church where Pastor Wabire is. And since the beginning, one day one, Wabire has been the one in that church. This church supported some of our people, Wabire and a certain young man, to go to study in Malawi. They paid everything for 3 years until they finished. And now Wabire is also a teacher in the Bible College. You can just see what God is doing. And so I would love Ida to say something. Then I will also continue. Okay, Mama.
God is good. And all the time. And that is his nature. I really thank God for standing before you today. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for loving the people of Africa. Thank you for standing with us. And thank you for changing souls. You know, you can give us many things in this world. Clothes, shoes, but they worn out. But the best that we can take with us is salvation. Because at the end of the day, that is what we need. I've already said that 100 years from now, it will not matter what kind of house you live in or your education, but what you do in the life of somebody. What you have done in the lives of Africans, in the lives of Ugandans, in the lives of Kenyans, will never be forgotten and will never be taken away from them. So from the bottom of our hearts, If you could come inside our hearts are jumping up and limping because of what you have done in the lives of our people, because you have changed the lives. Thank you so much for being faithful, for standing with us alongside our vision of planting 200 churches. Like Morris said, we are almost there. We started with one. From one, we are now at 118. And very soon, we are going to make our goal. Like Morris said, we are not only planting churches in Uganda, we are planting churches in Kenya, we are planting churches in Tanzania. We are reaching East Africa. East Africa is having 5 countries right now. We have Rwanda, we have Southern Sudan, and Burundi. God willing, we would love to go to Rwanda and we would love to go to Southern Sudan to reach the soul, the lost souls. Like Morris has talked about, the church in Bulolero, indeed you have done a great job in Bulolero. That is the where we have the Rwanda Children's Home. At Rwanda Children's Home, we have 120 children who are orphans. But right now, we do not call them orphans because they have a family. They came, they have been there. Our first lot of children, they have graduated to the university. They are right now at the university. And most of all, they have been able to go to Rwanda, where there is Bulolero Church, where Pastor David has been their pastor and has done a great job. Thank you for starting up with the church and also a children's home. Thank you so much for your support. He was talking about Budaka, Pastor Michael Awire. Actually, as you took him to school, right now he's working at the Bible College, he's training pastors. And not only that, he's standing with the church. I'm going to talk about the church in Eldoret in Kenya. I don't know why God has chosen this church to be always the first in every country that we have been. We started with Uganda. Then when it came to Kenya, this is the church that we talked to when we were going to Eldoret. Eldoret is in Kenya. You've planted your first church plant in Kenya with us. That is Eldoret Church. It is in Kenya. The reason why we thought about going to Kenya, me and Morris, we have 2 citizenships. We have 2 nationalities. We are both Ugandans and Kenyans because Morris's parents come from Kenya. So we're like, we need to go home and also do something at home. Actually, the church you are planting this year in Kenya, in Bondo, is from the hometown where Morris comes from. So we are really excited about that church being planted there this year. So the first church plant in Kenya of Eldoret, I remember when time came, when it was time to go to Kenya, something bad happened. You know, many times when the children of God are planning, the devil also plans. But we are always more than conquerors. And God always have a good plan, and there's always a purpose to why he starts something. And I think the devil knew that what was going to come out of Eldoret Church was very, very good. That's why the devil planned something, but the devil failed. Anyway, during that time, that's the time when the American embassy in Kenya was bombed that year. And so many people who wanted to come that year were like, I think I'm not going because it is not safe to go to Kenya. I really got worried. We prayed. And then we called Brother Paul and the other rest of the groups and asked them, are you really coming? And they said, yeah, we are coming, but some people have dropped. They are not coming. They are scared. But then told him, what about you? He said, I'm coming. And actually, my son has been checking on the news. I told him, stop. I don't even want to hear you talk about the news. Don't listen to the news. And I remember they took their son either to Colorado. I still remember that. And then they came to Kenya. It was a group of about 12, 13 people who came to Kenya that time. When I went to pick them from the airport, as they were coming out, I prayed and said, dear Lord, let your will be done. Let them do what you have sent them to do here. And we had a wonderful time planting that church in Eldoret. Out of that church, we have pastors who have come out of that. Actually, what we do, we go for house-to-house evangelism. We plant a church. After 2 years, we train some of the younger men who are having a call, and then we send them. It's produce, then send. Out of that church in Eldoret, there are so many pastors that we have got out of that church. The church has tremendously grown. Right now, Pastor Josephat Wanyama is not the pastor. We have another pastor who is in that church. Wanyama didn't continue with the work. But there are so many younger men. During the week we did house-to-house evangelism that came up. We had, that's where we come with the pastor. Timothy Ocheng. We have Pastor Timothy, who got saved as a result of house-to-house evangelism in Eldoret. We have Pastor Sos Peter, who is now also another pastor in Hollow Church. We have so many pastors that have come as a result of that church planting in Eldoret, who went for training, and right now they are pastors. One of the pastors actually who was born in that church, who trusted Christ in that church, is right now in Kenya. That is Pastor Timothy. When Pastor Timothy trusted Christ, he committed himself to serving God. He joined the Bible College. That one is Pastor Timothy Otieno, the one you are seeing. For some of you have been in Uganda and in Kenya, I think you have come up, you have come across him. He's a very, very, very good young man. Pastor Timothy, after the Bible College, he went and became a pastor in Apokoro Church. Apokoro Church is along Tororo Road for those who have been in Uganda. He did a great job there. God really used him. And I'm really grateful to God for those who went and really harvested Pastor Timothy, because it's go and harvest. They harvested Pastor Timothy and brought him into the ministry. He's a very, very good asset. And after some time, we actually moved him to back to Kenya, because he came from Kenya. He's now pastoring a church in Kapenguria, in the mountains in Kenya right now. And he has done a great, great job in Kapenguria, where he has changed the culture. The culture of the people of Kapenguria is almost like the culture of the Karamojongs or the Maasai's. For those of you who have been in Tanzania who have seen the Maasai's, they almost have the same culture. In that church in Kapenguria where we took Pastor Timothy, the men believes that they are like the kings. In the church, the men, all men wear suit. When we went there, the first Sunday, all men sat one side, and all women and children sat the other side. Those men in Kapenguria believe that all women and children are equal, they are the same. So with them, they are on this level, and the women and the children are on this level. So the men don't do anything in their villages. They don't build. It's the women to build. All their work is maybe to keep the cows and probably security. It's kind of like security. But the women are the ones who do all the donkey job at home, dig, do everything. But you know, when the gospel reached that place in Kapenguria, it changed everything. I remember one time we had a women's conference and I was so shocked, because when we had a women's conference, the men had to cook. And it has never, never happened in Kapenguria. And nobody could ever think that that could ever happen. A man to go to the kitchen to cook in Kapenguria, that was like an abomination. But this time, after Pastor Timothy preaching the gospel in that village, everything has changed because of the gospel. That is the first time I saw men busy in the kitchen cooking with firewood, and even the women were like, wow, this is really good that God is changing these people. So recently in Kapenguria, where Pastor Timothy is, they didn't even believe in their culture. They were not believing in a church marriage. Recently, actually on the 23rd, he wedded 5 couples in his church. So everything has really changed because of the gospel. So we are really grateful to God for what God is doing. And I hand over to Morris, who is going to speak more about other churches.
So we have also other churches like Budaka. Budaka is where Mike Wavira is, whom I've just told you, whom we sent to Malawi through the help of this church, and now is a teacher in the Bible College. The church is doing well. By that time, that church was not complete, but now that church is complete, and God has blessed them, even with the primary school, from P1 to P4. We have some brethren who came from Korea. They are Presbyterians, and these brothers had to help us to finish that church. In fact, they have helped us to finish almost 5 churches, but we give God glory for what God has done. That church has elders. And also we have Nawio. Nawio also was trusted with the same church. This church, 20 churches has been started from this church. And for surely we give God glory for that, because God is always good. We have Kanginima also. We have Kanginima also, where Vincent is. Vincent has been there from the beginning of that church and is still a pastor there. The church has grown. They have elders. They have deacons. They can now decide everything. And so the church also, those people in that church have tried their best. Slowly by slowly, they have also finished the church. What I mean by finishing, some churches were built like we finished the churches like that. Because, you know, in the time we began, we were worshiping some of our churches, just we had put under trees, and some of them were having just smaller shelters. But this church has done a lot for us, and we give glory for this church. God has used this church. This church, when they first came, they find us when we have 5 churches. And these five churches were praying in just temporary. In temporary things and temporary under the tree. This church has to raise money to complete 5 churches at once. And for surely, we give God glory for that. When they came and they see how these churches was under the trees, they had to raise fund and put 5 churches at once. So we give God the glory for that. And so we are very excited. The churches which they have started, the work which has come from here, because the love of God has done all this. And so that's why we have come to say, God has used you, and we have to share with you what God has done.
Yeah, to go back to Budaka, actually when Morris was talking about the church in Budaka, where Pastor Mike Wawire is the pastor, I remember sometimes back we had a group that came from here with the, for some of you, I don't know, some of you are new here in this church, but for some of you have been in Grace Community Bible Church for a long time, you remember Ryan Yokobaitis, who used to come to this church. I think he was among the people who went to plant that Budaka church. The Budaka church has grown so much, with the Pastor Michael Wawire being their pastor and also a teacher at the Bible College. I remember when we planted that church in Budaka, some of the youths who came were the Yokobaitis and another younger lady who is now married to Yokobaitis, that is Catherine, I think. Yes. Catherine, by then, she was not married to Ryan. But now, I think it was during that time even when they started dating on that trip. That is good, but still, there is something that happened as Catherine was walking house-to-house evangelism. You know, when we go to the villages, we go for house-to-house evangelism. Catherine, as she walked in the villages, she came across this old man who was in his 70s. She preached to him the gospel, and the old man was like, wow, I've never had this my whole life. Maybe this is the reason why God has kept me this long. And he was so happy. He asked Catherine and her interpreter to stay for lunch, but of course they couldn't because they had to go to other houses. And Ida always tell the group, no eating in the village where you go for house to house, just preach. Anyway, the old man was so happy and was like, "What? I have to give you a gift for bringing me the best gift that I need." You know, in the villages, for some of you who have been in our villages, when you walk around, you see chickens roaming around the village. Our chickens are very, very smart, by the way. We do not have to feed them. When they wake up in the morning, each chicken knows where to go to look for food. And in the evening, each chicken knows where they come from. There's no chicken that goes to a wrong house. So every chicken in the evening, it's amazing how God created them. They will be walking together in the evening. You will see each chicken entering a different hut, so they know where to go. Actually, if you are to eat chicken, you either catch him before he leaves, because you don't know where he's going to look for food, or you will have to run wandering around the village. But good enough, that day when Catherine preached the gospel, the chickens were not far. He grabbed a rooster and gave it to Catherine as a gift for preaching the gospel. So Catherine, you know, with the American girls, they are not like we African girls. Of course, she didn't know what to do with the chicken. We know the chicken was like. So she got the chicken in her hands and gave the chicken to the interpreter, because that's the gift that they gave her. And that was like done. The following year, when they came back to Africa to preach the gospel, they asked if we could take them to Budaka Church so that they could preach the gospel. They could visit the church that they planted the other year. Actually, the reason why I'm bringing this story is that something amazed me. When we were entering the church, there was this old man Catherine preached to a year before. He was sitting behind. And when he saw Catherine, actually, he remembered her. He came jumping, screaming, "Oh my God, Catherine, Catherine." And Catherine was like, "Oh yes, I'm Catherine." But she couldn't even remember who this old man was. So the old man asked her, "Do you remember when you came to my house and preached to me the gospel?" And she was like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." But of course, Catherine was like, "Maybe I think I did go there." But you know, after preaching the gospel, you come and you preach the gospel to almost 40 people, 50 people a day. It's difficult to remember everybody. But you know, this old man still remembered Catherine. And actually asked, I was looking at them, he was like, "Do you remember when you preached the gospel to me and I gave you a rooster?" She was like, "Oh yes, yes, I remember now. I even have your picture on my refrigerator at home." I said, "Yes, because you came, I was able to preach to my wife because she wasn't around, and my grandchildren, and all that back bench, that is my family. I preached to them and I brought them here to church." And she was like, "Oh, thank you so much." I said, "Okay, if you do not come back again, let us meet in heaven." The old man has gone back to be with the Lord. And I know he's there looking forward to see Catherine one day. That is the good work, that when you come, you really change lives. You change communities. You take people to heaven. And that is the best that we can ever have in our lives. Thank you so much. Morris is telling me to talk about the church in Tanzania. Like we said, we do church planting in Kenya, in Uganda, and in Tanzania. We started 4 years ago to plant churches in Tanzania. Tanzania mainly is filled with Muslims. When you go to Tanzania near the Kilimanjaro, for those who have been in Tanzania, I think you have seen Mount Kilimanjaro. It is just there in Moshi. And I think some of the members here went climbing, people like Pete Plummer. He went hiking on the Kilimanjaro Mountain. That is where I find Moshi. In Moshi, still Grace Community Bible Church was the first to plant the church in Mabogine in Tanzania, which is Grace Community Bible Church in Tanzania on the slopes of Mount Kilimanjaro. Most of the people in Tanzania there are Muslims. To go back a little bit, before I became a Christian, I was a Muslim. I grew up and I was raised as Muslim. Little did I know that it was reading the Bible, it was through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that I could get salvation, I could go to heaven through believing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Because as I was growing up, all my parents taught me was to go to the mosque, pray 5 times a day, fast a certain month in a year, and I did all that faithfully because that's what I was taught. But you know, still even as we were taught in the mosque, they used to teach us that Jesus, whom they used to call Isa, they used to tell us that he's coming back to judge the world, and I was like, "Who is this Isa?" But through God's grace and through the house-to-house evangelism, here I stand. I trusted Jesus Christ, and I put my faith in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So inside me, I always cry and I'm like, how are we going to meet that those people, the Muslims? They also need Christ like we do. Actually, we have tried. In our church right now, we have Pastor Abraham. He is a Muslim. He trusted Christ as his Lord and Savior. We have one of the elders in Nawiyo Church, Hassan. He was a Muslim. He trusted Christ as a result of going for house-to-house evangelism. And also that's the heart we have for also reaching the people in Tanzania. In Tanzania, we planted a church in 2008, still through this church. And we have so far planted two churches in Tanzania. That is in Newland, in Bomangombe and Mabogini. That is Bomangombe. I said, Mama, you were there in Bomangombe. Bomangombe is doing very, very, very well. Though we had challenges in the beginning because Tanzanians, they do not speak English. They only speak Swahili. It was very, very difficult for us to penetrate to Tanzania because of the language barrier. But we thank God for our brothers who are in Kenya, because Kenyans know more Swahili than we, the Ugandans. Actually, there's even a saying in Uganda that Swahili was born in Tanzania, raised in Kenya, and then died in Uganda. So we Ugandans, we know very little Swahili. So we started with Tanzania. This is actually our church in Bomangombe. And we started with this brother, Pastor Sylvanus, and Mike Skinny. This is actually the new pastor there.
Yeah.
Yes. That is the pastor in that church. It is doing very, very well. And recently they had their first wedding. I wish you were there. And they are really very, very grateful. The other first church actually in Bomangombe was not doing fine in the beginning because the pastor that we had taken there had a problem because he was coming from Kenya, like I had said, and it was difficult for him to keep his children to go to Tanzania to school. He wanted his children to learn English. So his children were going to school in Kenya while he was living in Tanzania. So he kept moving back and forth. That was very, very expensive for him to stay there. But right now, this last year, we're able to get pastors from Tanzania who are Tanzanians leading the churches. Pastor Boaz has started training them in Kiswahili in order to do the good job. Maurice can add on that.
Yeah, we always want to thank God many times, because when we started these churches in Tanzania, as if we were losing hope. But God, in his own time, God is good. We have the pastors now who are Tanzanian in these churches. And to make it good is that just recently, God can open a door when you lose hope. But God is so great that God gave us these pastors. Even the Speaker of Parliament in Tanzania, who is in the government, recently came to our church. And he was thanking us for what we have done. One of the pastors who is from Tanzania is a brother to the member, the Speaker of the Parliament in Tanzania. So we just saw how God, where you feel you are losing hope because our pastors could not serve there well, we saw God's hand, and God has brought his people, and these churches are now doing well because these people, they are married people, and they are now serving with us together. And I give God glory for that. It is really wonderful, which I have to share with you, that God has worked it out. Sometimes the Bible says, where there is no way, God makes us a way. Sometimes when you lose hope, and then in that time when you are losing hope, God brings your hope back by providing and by making a way for you. And that's the time when you know, all I do is God working for his work. And so we are here to thank you. We have many churches, but because of the time, as just as somebody said, might be at 3. If it was, we were to live at 3, maybe we would mention every church and talk about every church. But I want to say that these churches are doing well, and the pastors who are there are serving God. And some, most of these churches, they have elders and they have deacons. And most of them bring people into the college for us to train them and go back. And so we are here again to say thank you. But also we are here to invite you again that you may be part of what we are doing. Don't be left out, because I want you to go to heaven with joy, so that somebody will welcome you when you reach home. But the only way we can invest is the kingdom of God, and those monies will always be there. When we reach home, you'll see those people who have come to the Lord. So I'm appealing to you and inviting you, and I say you are welcome to be part of what God is doing. And so you will be coming to Bondo. We will always be there waiting for you at the airport. When you come, you will see us. If you don't see, you will see Ida. She will always be there. Because sometimes the teams collide, you know, and people ask, where is Morris? But I tell them that now teams are two. I have to pick the one in Uganda, and he comes and pick the ones in Kenya. So you will see us there. Please be part of it. I appeal to you for the work God is doing in our country. Let us build our hope to what we are doing. Never let your hope, I want to encourage you, don't let your hope be killed by time. You know, time kills our hope, because we say, I cannot do it. The time will catch me up. I'm telling you, the time is there for us to continue serving him. Don't let fear kill your hope. Move forward, because God is with us. Don't let sin kill your hope. Tell sin, Jesus died on the cross. Back, go back, I'm moving forward. And so I want to say thank you so much for your support and having us again. And I also say you are welcome to be with us and to work with us in the same field. Don't remain behind. May God bless you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you once again. Let us all meet in Bondo. The population is really, really big. There are so, so many people. So we need all of you to come. May Amen. God bless you.
And let me say something. If you go to East Africa, she will be at that airport. You will not be standing around waiting, scared, wondering if somebody's going to pick you up. And you will eat like a king. They take care of you. You are well protected. It's a wonderful opportunity. So if you've never gone to East Africa, you really need to consider going. And we've only had a couple of meetings, so feel free to contact Paul Mitchell. But when you go hut to hut and share the gospel and watch dozens of people all raise their hands wanting to receive Christ, it's an experience that you have to experience at least once in your lifetime. So consider that, if you would. Would you all stand together now? We're going to pray over Morris and Ida. As you know, they're going to be here in the States for another month and a half or so. They're going to be traveling around, so be in prayer for them when you think about it, just for their opportunities to share. And of course, I think perhaps it's less safe here in America sometimes than it is over there. So, you know, you tend to think, well, you know, if I go over there, what might happen? Well, you know, planes and trains and cars and driving on the highway here is not always safe. So be in prayer for them as they travel about here and for their ministry. All right, let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you so much for Morris and Ida and what they've been able to share with us this morning. How encouraging to see how these churches are doing. How encouraging to realize that for a number of years, Grace has had the privilege to be able to send people over and send finances over and encouragement and to pray and to see people come to Christ in a land far away. We thank you for the ministry there that you have given to Morris and Ida and to those who've come alongside them. And we pray for those pastors and those churches, the pastors' wives and the elders and the deacons, for them, for grace upon them as they work with their congregations. And we pray for those congregations that need leadership, that you'd raise up elders and deacons in those churches. And Lord, we pray for the impact that those churches could have amongst the people around them. May people see those churches and the changed lives, and may they want to come to Christ too. And Lord, we pray for our people that are preparing to go over to Kenya this summer. And may you touch hearts if somebody's thinking that they might want to go and they're not sure. Move them along, we pray. And we pray for a good group to go over there. And we pray for people right now in that area, Bondo, that you'd be touching hearts so that when the gospel goes there this summer, they'd be responsive. Again, Lord, we thank you for Morris and Ida. And we pray your hand upon them in a mighty way. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.